record one, or should we just do a practice run first?
No practicing.
No practice run? All right, here we go. No practices, no second takes. If we make a mistake, we just leave it in.
Okay.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Franz Till the End, your one slurp slurp for all things Franz.
Oh, Michael. Oh,
damn it. 2 days off the booze, and already it's hitting me hard. It's your one-stop shop Friends podcast thing, where we watch Friends and then talk about it.
Do you mean 2 days back on the booze?
Yeah.
What a mess.
I'm Michael. I'm joined, as always, by old Grandma Elizabeth, huddled under four blankets in the corner there. It's a bit of a cold snap, isn't it?
It's freezing. It's winter.
It's a bit tough, isn't it?
Yeah, anything below 76 is too cold.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would disagree, but would defend to the death your right to say such a thing. So I guess we can find some common ground there.
Thank you. It's very chivalrous of you.
I dare say chivalry is not dead yet. So Elizabeth, double episode day. Hooray!
Hooray!
We've fallen a little bit behind on season 4, much like we did in season 3, so we decided to reward our wonderful listeners who put up with so much when we deliver so little. We'll give them 2 episodes for the price of 1, why not? One you probably don't remember too much about because we watched it a week ago.
It's gonna be a challenge, I'll be upfront about it.
And then the other one we watched just now, so that's good times. The one that we watched a week ago was the first one we watched like away from home. We weren't in the Friends Till the End HQ, we were out on the road.
Oh, that's right.
Whole different setting, whole different ballgame. Do you remember that episode? Do you remember what it was called?
I have no idea. Oh, wait. Yes, something about partying.
The one where they're going to party.
Yeah!
That's right. We'll get into that in just a moment. But first of all, Elizabeth, I want to direct you to an interesting piece of news that I saw online this week. A popular website ranked the 25 best episodes of Friends ever.
Okay.
And they put a list in. And I was perusing it. Now, I don't want to read through the whole list because that's a little bit of a spoiler. But what I will say, Elizabeth, is out of the list of 25 of the best episodes, I think we've watched about 11 of them already.
Oh, wow.
Here we are early in season 4. A couple of the episodes that we just watched, for instance, number 23 on the list was an episode that we watched just a couple of weeks ago, the one where Chandler crosses the line, where Chandler kisses Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
That was the number 3 best episode. And one of the episodes that we just watched today made it onto the list as well at number 22. Now, if you'd have to take a guess, would you say it was the one where they're going to party or the one with the girl from Poughkeepsie, which is the second episode that we're going to talk about today?
Probably the first one.
You think?
I don't remember it.
You don't remember it?
But I didn't think that one was amazing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
Okay.
You are very wrong. And it is The Girl from Poughkeepsie. It was number 22 on the list. And very interestingly, and I won't give too many spoilers, but in 2 weeks' time, we're going to talk about the episode that they ranked at number 1 on their list.
Okay.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that. And number 2 on their list, I will say we have seen already, which was the one where no one's ready, which I think we agreed is definitely up there as one of the best. So we'll have to see. I hate to tell you, but in 2 weeks' time, the show may have peaked for you. And it might be all downhow for the next 6.5 seasons or 5.5 seasons, whatever it is.
We'll end up just binging the entire seasons, doing 24-hour long podcasts about them.
That's not a bad idea.
Oh, man.
I think we need to check. I ran through the list a little bit. I didn't look at it in too much depth, but I don't think, like, season 10 has a couple of episodes on the list, but I don't think there's any episodes from, like, season 8 or maybe season 9. So maybe we'll just skip through that in like 24 hours and just blow it out and get it out of the way.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves. We've got a long way to go before we get there. So anyway, on to our first episode. And we're going to try and get through these pretty quickly. We don't want to be bringing out an episode that's longer than an hour. The one where they're going to party.
Mm-hmm.
First show in December the 11th, 1997. We're almost out of 1997.
Yep.
It is season 4, episode 9. Elizabeth, how much of this episode do you remember?
I don't remember anything. I'm really trying to rack my brain. I know once you start talking about it with your notes, it'll come back. But right now, I can't remember anything. I don't remember what party, what I don't remember.
No, it's going to be interesting because I made my notes a week ago as well. And I know the episode quite well, but that's not to say that my notes are going to make any sense whatsoever. So I might, if I don't remember specifically something on my notes, I might just read out what I wrote and then we'll see what we get from that. God, such in-depth analysis. Honestly. Why do people listen to this?
I don't know, but please don't stop.
Please don't. You've made it this far. Look, we're almost halfway through. You may as well stick with us now.
Yeah.
You may as well. So the episode opens on the street outside Central Perk. One of the interesting things that I noted that you might not remember is because we were watching this in a different location, we were watching on a fancier television than we normally watch it, so it was in super HD.
Oh, yeah!
It looked weird.
It was really weird.
It was like looking through a window onto a New York busy street.
Oh, it was so strange. I didn't like it.
No?
No.
Found it a bit unsettling.
I think if I had started watching it like that, anything else would be, oh, this is bad quality. But because I'm used to maybe poor quality, I was confused by it.
I think it's just, I think any show looks bad in that when you first start watching it, or any show looks a bit weird, or any movie looks a little bit weird, and it literally just takes a little while for your brain to adapt to it, and yeah. Then I think it like kind of slots into place and it looks normal again. But like the first time they did this kind of super 4HD or whatever it is was with like the Hobbit movies in the cinema, and it was weird because it was like you were looking through a window into like Hobbiton or whatever it's called, the Shire. So, a little bit weird.
Did you say Hobbiton?
Yeah. Isn't there a place called Hobbiton?
You're asking me about Lord of the Rings?
Yeah. Well, you've got your Lord of the Rings podcast. You never talk about Hobbiton?
That's true.
Brodo Baggins? When you guys bro down about Lord of the Rings shit?
Yeah, he's cool.
Alright, so we're out on the street. Phoebe and Monica have a van. Do you remember this?
A colorful van.
A colorful van. It's got a big mural of a voluptuous adventure warrior lady that you might find in a Dungeons & Dragons game, or perhaps something out of Xena Warrior Princess. Big woman with scantily clad, but with like warrior outfit, and she's holding a sword.
Yes.
Why, Elizabeth, do they have this?
Because it's for Phoebe and Monica's new catering business.
That's right. They're going into business together.
Yes.
Where Phoebe has got the easiest end of that bargain.
You would say potentially the hardest, though.
Why?
Dealing with the people, getting money, like working with finances. It's either going to be really easy or really annoying.
Yeah. Mostly really easy.
Plus, Monica loves to cook. It's what she's passionate about.
It's still stressful.
It is. Like, but that comes with it, right?
I love to cook, but I would never be a professional cook maker.
Chef?
Food maker, preparer. Well, chef, but if you're caring,
maker.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
All right, we're going to scratch this. We're going to start again. Hi, everyone, and welcome. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to get on with this. So they've got this van, and it even lights up in the booby region, like the nipple parts. There's a little light, and it lights up.
I can't believe you just said booby.
Well, that's what it is.
Breasts?
Yes, those two. Look, if you're talking about, like, a van with a woman, and, like, the bra area lights up, you may as well call it boobies, because it's all kind of stupid and immature.
Fine,
thank you. The episode opens! Elizabeth, my next note, help me out, why did I write Cilantro Larry?
I have no idea!
Why did I write this?
Cilantro Larry?
Yes.
Is that someone they got the van from?
Maybe. So Monica has got a food critic gig. So I can only guess that she replaced the guy called Cilantro Larry.
Okay.
But I can't remember the joke behind it. Like, did they joke that he put too much cilantro in things?
It's
going to
be the worst
must
episode
be.
Ever.
All right. So anyway, Monica, the important thing to take from this is Monica has got a part-time gig doing food reviews for a local newspaper. Sweet gig to get.
Yeah.
Sweet gig. But Phoebe's a little bit worried about this because they're in the middle of setting up their catering gig, so she's like, well, why are you taking this job on? And she's just like, well, it's just a little bit of a side project, don't you worry. Chandler then enters the fray. I guess Ross is there, and he asks Ross if he's ready to party.
Okay.
And Ross is like, well, I guess I could. And then he's like, no, Ross, are you ready to party? And Ross kind of gets the hint. He's like, oh, no way, he's in town. And then they start talking about this guy from their college who they call Gandalf the Wizard.
You know what?
More Lord of the Rings chat. Jesus.
You know what?
What?
One of my brothers had a friend that they called Gandalf.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Was he a party animal?
I think so.
Could he take a normal night at your local drinking establishment and, like, magic turn it into an unforgettable night of your life?
I think so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth, why would I write bees next to Gandalf's name?
Come on, man.
Why were they talking about bees?
There was probably some epic night where he, you know, put bees on his penis or something.
That does sound like an epic night. It's their old friend Mike from college. They're going to party. He's the party wizard. Joey doesn't get the reference. He doesn't know why he's called Gandalf. I mean, Joey, just give it 4 more years. The Lord of the Rings movies will be out. You'll understand.
Okay, so just the books were out at that point.
There's an animated feature as well that came out in the 1970s or the 90s. You didn't cover this on your podcast? Yeah, so Joey didn't get the reference. They're like, didn't you read Lord of the Rings in high school? And then Joey was like, I had sex in high school.
Like, that's kind of funny.
Yeah. Have you read the Lord of the Rings books, Elizabeth?
Michael. For my podcast, I have to. I really have them almost memorized.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
Could you perhaps regale us in an elfin song that perhaps Aragorn sung at some point during the Two Towers?
Absolutely. As soon as we finish up here, okay. I'm going to do that for
That's
you.
That's a little tease. We'll finish on that.
Mm-hmm.
Elsewhere, Rachel is gunning for a promotion at Bloomingdale's. My mom calls it Bloomies. And she wants a recommendation from Joanna. We see Joanna. She's back again.
Yeah.
Are you glad to see her?
So glad.
Yep. In brackets / parentheses, I wrote Junior Miss. Oh, I think because she's going for a job in their Junior Miss line at Bloomingdale's. Good.
Mm-hmm.
We got there on that one. At some point, Joanna rags on Sophie a little bit more, which we can only imagine was good stuff. God, this is so terrible. Like, we're speculating on the jokes that somebody made that we can't remember.
You don't need to say the exact jokes. It's just, it's been established
it's good, though.
That she always rags on her mm-hmm. all the time.
Yeah. I think it's along the lines of, well, it will be sad to leave. You know, I'm going to not have a competent assistant anymore if you go. And then Sophie's like, well, you'll have me. And she was like, yeah, that's my point. Because I mean, it writes itself at this point. Come on,
it's fine.
Joanna is, you know, she doesn't want to lose her because she's a good assistant or whatever she does with Joanna.
Mm-hmm.
But as it happens, Joanna is on the hiring committee, so perhaps Rachel has her elbow in. At one point, at this point, they kind of talk about, oh, well, you're very well qualified. With your qualifications, you'll get that job. No bother. And I'm like, what qualifications does she have? Like, she didn't go to college. I don't think she went to... She didn't go to college. She went, like...
Remember, like, didn't she see her college friends when...
I think that was her high school friends.
Oh, okay.
She? At any rate, she's been working in fashion for about a year. Mm-hmm. It was the beginning of season 3 that she got the job at Bloomingdale's. Until then, she'd been working 2 years in a coffee... Like, why does she have such great qualifications? Like, working as this person's assistant for...
Maybe like, it's who she knows now, the good work that she's been doing. Maybe she's been put, you know, put on prestigious, I don't know, like, jobs.
It was just something that stood out to me. It was like, well, she's had this job for a year, and she seems to be doing a good job, but, like, just because you do a good job at your job for a year doesn't then, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. I just... would imagine that the fashion industry is quite a difficult...
Pretty competitive.
Yes, mm-hmm. I would have said so. Anyway, Chandler is excited for his night out with Gandalf. They've all booked time off work. He's got a snake bite kit. They're preparing for just a big, big night. Ross has got, like, his passport, and he's got extra socks, and, like, they're all right. And Chandler's like, it's not going to be exactly like last time. Oh, God. Those guys. Can you imagine... They talk about, like, ending up on fisher boats to Canada or something. They've they've had some wild nights. Joey's gonna go... They've all booked time off work, basically. Joey has an audition. It's, like, 10 in the morning.
Yeah, what audition is at that time?
No? You don't think?
I mean, I guess for, like, film.
No, for, like... If you work in New York, like,
guess,
when they have auditions...
Yeah, I guess, like, it's not like you have to wait for people to get off work to be able to attend.
No. Seems a bit right, but the guys are, like, cracking open beers.
Yeah.
At that point. They're having morning beers.
They're getting prepared for Gandalf.
I love those days, man, where you can just, like, you know you've got nothing coming up the next day, and you've got, like, a special thing planned, so you, like, crack open a morning beer.
Have a shower beer.
Have a shower beer. It's pretty
good. Or shower wine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, so good. But then Gandalf cancels.
What a dick.
He gets stuck in Chicago, I think. I believe. I didn't make a note on it, but his flight gets stuck somewhere.
Yeah, that stinks.
Yeah, those guys...
really looking forward to it.
They're really disappointed. Rachel has her interview. Seems to be going well. One of the guys doing the interview is like, well, you've got a very impressive resume. And I'm like, does she? Does she have an impressive resume? She worked for 2 years at a coffee shop. She got a job for like 5 minutes sorting coat hangers at some random like person's fashion bit. And then she got this assistant's job at Bloomingdale's. That's not an impressive resume. She's what? Late 20s?
Yeah.
She should have been doing this shit since she got out of high school. Like,
hey,
she should have...
everyone's on their own journey.
Look, she is doing great, and I've spoken about this many, many a time, but her resume cannot be impressive.
I didn't pick up on that.
I was just like, come on, mate. We know Rachel a little bit better than you do. We've been following her career for 3 and a bit years now, and we know her... we can only assume that Gunther is... provided her with the most glowing of references.
Maybe which, she worked in retail. Oh no, she never
didn't.
Had a job.
She didn't.
Right.
It's well documented.
Huh. Maybe it's who she knows. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, who she knows is Joanna, who is on the hiring committee, and you would think that would be an advantage, but it's not. Joanna tanks it.
She throws her under the bus.
Yeah. She belittles her, like, accomplishments that she's listed on her very impressive resume, and then she kind of insinuates that she's the office hussy,
mm-hmm.
which she's been very good with. She's not really been throwing herself around, so
nope.
Unlike Joanna, having torrid sex parties in her office,
yeah,
with handcuffs and the like. So yeah, basically Joanna tanks it. Bad news, and Rachel's not happy. Monica has written a review. She trashes a restaurant called Alessandro's. She talks about how she gets paid a penny a word for the review, which...
A penny a word?
A penny a word. You gotta renegotiate that shit.
That's awful.
That's real bad. Like...
A penny a word?
Unless she's, like, writing for... a restaurant supplement, like in a big weekend paper, like that review is not going to be any more than, like, I would say on average somewhere between 500 and 1,000 words. So she's making $5 to $10 for her review.
That's awful.
Like, but even if it wasn't, even if she was writing like a 5,000 word review on a restaurant.
So it'd be like, what, 500?
$50.
$50?
$50, yeah.
No.
100 cents and a dollar. So divided by 100, $50.
Oh my god.
Pointless.
I'd rather just do it for free than get paid.
Well,
a
she
penny
gets
a free
meal out of it, but anyway, a penny a word, ridiculous. Renegotiate that right away. But one of the guys from Alessandro's has tracked her down. He buzzes on the door and he's like, I want to talk to you about your review. And she's like, I'm never going to let you in, so you may as well go away. But Phoebe, who had just left the apartment, walks out the door and you can hear her on the buzzer and she's like, oh, are you wanting to go in? Bye. And Monica's like, no, Phoebe. And then she's just like, hi, Monica. And then off she goes.
Yeah, but like, you don't have to answer your door once they get up there.
True. You don't. But at that point, you know, what are you going to do?
I guess.
So anyway, she lets him in. You recognized him. You probably don't remember him, but you recognize him.
Nope. I have no recollection.
He was in like a Mary Kate in it. No, he was in Angels in the Outfield.
Oh my god, David! It was David from Angels in the Outfield!
Yeah.
Yeah! Mr. Knox, we're waiting on the field! Boop, boop! We're waiting! Mustard stains, that's hot water, cold water, club soda! Oh, David was the best in that whole movie.
So the guy, he's a very famous character actor. He's called Taylor Negron. Or Negron. Oh, sadly passed away 2015. I didn't know
what?
That. Yeah, that's real sad.
Why?
He was in... I don't know that information. But yeah, he was in Angels in the Outfield. He was very good at playing like one of those kind of stuffy, like, we got to do things by the book. But then by the end, you kind of win him over. He was great in The Last Boy Scout. which is like it's like an action movie with Bruce Willis. It's basically another Die Hard movie, and he doesn't look like he should be like a villain or like a guy that could beat up Bruce Willis, but he's pretty good. He's pretty great in a lot of things.
He died of cancer.
He did? Yeah. That's sad. He was really good. Like, I rate him, like, we talked about Fisher Stevens when he popped up as Phoebe's boyfriend, the therapist boyfriend. Yeah. Like, I put him up there. Like, he's just one of those great, he just pops up in, like, he would always, like, be in an episode of, like, Sister Sister or Keenan and Kel or something like that. He was just in everything. But, like, he kind of, like, you always popped up in the shows you watched. And you're always like, oh, yeah, that guy. I like that guy.
Well, R.I.P.
Yeah. That is a shame. I didn't realize he'd passed away. But he's great. He's only in this for, like, a couple of minutes. But he's really, really good.
Yep.
So he comes in. He's very unhappy. He's demanding a retraction. And Monica's like, she described it as an edible swill in her review, which is pretty harsh.
That's bad.
And she's like, well, I couldn't eat it, and I had five friends that couldn't eat it, and one of them eats books, because Joey had mentioned earlier in the episode that he eats books. So
it's so random. But like, what?
That's Joey. Loves food. Doesn't like books. It's well established.
Like bugs. Like, it could have been anything. Like,
no, books.
Books?
So the guy's like, oh, well, you said we accept Discover card, and we don't. And she's like, all right, I'll print that retraction. But she stands by it, and then she ends up like, this is how you make a good, like, I don't know, marinara sauce. And she's going to cook for him. So there we go. Rachel's unhappy with Joanna. She confronts her. She's like, I'm going to warn you, I may cry, but these are tears of, I don't know. She's upset about something anyway. She's going to pack her things. She's going to quit because she thinks that Joanna doesn't value her. She doesn't really see what Joanna, like, we know, because we're smart, that Joanna didn't want to lose her, so she just said bad things about her so she wouldn't get the job. But Rachel was like, well, you said these bad things. You must think I'm bad, so I'm going to leave. And she was like, no, I don't want you to quit. I want to keep you.
I would assume that also.
Mm-hmm. So she goes to leave, and she's like, well, hang on. What if I create a new job for you where you could still work with me? You can be an assistant buyer, and you'll get lots of perks. Would you like to speculate what the fuck an assistant buyer would do?
A buyer is, like, really big deal in the fashion industry. They're the ones, like, bringing in the new lines that are going to be in the stores.
Mm-hmm.
So the ones that go around and, like, I imagine go to the fashion shows and pick out what they think's going to sell and what they want for each season. I don't know if that's exactly what that does, that job. I just want to say that in case someone in fashion is out there listening and they're like, that's not right.
Well, Elizabeth, you also host a very popular fashion podcast. I mean, you are something of an expert on this.
Yeah, that's true. I know.
Handbags and hangnails. Perfect. Great podcast. Really good. Check it out. Okay. Do you have a better...
think of one.
Go on.
The only thing that came to my mind was stilettos and Slurpees. I don't know.
That's good. What about bull shot? No. Never mind.
Buckles and belts?
Yeah.
Buttons and buckles and belts?
I think we've proved before we're not good at thinking of things on the fly, so maybe we'll just move on.
Zipper my lips.
Jesus. Zips and quips.
There we go.
I think we've got something.
No, know what it's about. Zips and quips.
It's true. It's not very leading. It's snappy, but it's not very descriptive.
Oh.
Chandler and Ross are moping about because their mate Gandalf cancelled on them. Joey comes home and he rallies the troops. He's like, come on, we're still going to have a great night. Let's do this. We're going to go out and meet new people and see the world. And they're all like, yeah, okay, let's do it. Well, Ross is like that, at least. So off they go. Rachel's very excited. She goes home to show off about her job. Monica is also very excited because this guy from Alessandro's has offered her the head chef job. Ooh. It's her dream. Rachel's very excited to hear this. Phoebe less so, because that means that she's not going to do the catering business.
Yeah, she didn't really think that through. Monica, like, you think the... You know, your first reaction would be like, yes, but then second, oh no, I just made this commitment to a friend. We've put some money into it.
Mm. Tough, because Phoebe just wanted to work with her friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sad. We then join the boys, the lads, on their crazy night out. They swing by Central Perk. They've been somewhere. They're about to go somewhere else. But first of all, they're going to get a little bit of coffee. How late do you think Central Perk's open till?
10.
10? You think?
In New York City?
New York City coffee shop, though.
Do they just sell coffee?
I've never seen them. They don't do, like, meals. You never see them, like, preparing food.
8?
Yeah, maybe. So they've already been out. They've been out to a club by the sounds of it. But here they are at Central Perk. They're going to reload. Chandler and Ross, they're kind of lagging. They're kind of like, I'm kind of tired. I don't know if I want to go back out. And Joey's like, you guys serious? And then they're like, yeah. And he's like, oh, thank goodness. Because Joey don't want to be there either.
That's why I feel most of the time when I have to go out.
Really?
I like it for like a good 30, 45 minutes. I'm like, ugh, I just want to be in my pajamas.
It's tough. So the guys just kind of like settle down and they're like, oh, let's just not go out. And then they just kind of go on this kind of old man rant. Like they both want decaf. They all want decaf coffee. Someone wants like tea with a little bit of lemon. And then they talk about how they were yelling in the club and how their ears hurt because the music was so loud.
Yeah.
And how Ross had to put socks on his hands because he didn't want to touch anything in the club. Again, like they must have gone to a place at 8 o'clock at night, maybe. And
what kind of people are at clubs at 8 p.m.?
Well, I'll tell you who. 29-year-olds, Elizabeth. Because at that point, they realise they're old. It's not because Gandalf isn't there. It's because they're not 21 anymore. They're 29 years old. And they're going to celebrate that. They're not gonna pretend to be something they're not.
Is that why I feel the same way they do about going out?
Maybe.
Because I'm entering my 29th year.
Now look here, Elizabeth. I'm in my early 30s. And admittedly, it's not, Friday nights are not like, where are we going to go out tonight? But I still think I've got like I've still got a night out in me.
Yeah, like, but like one every couple of weeks.
Oh, I will then need like
4 days.
A couple of days to recover. Yeah. But I can still, like, I wouldn't, if I was going to go out with my mates, I wouldn't like, well, for one, I wouldn't stop off at our local coffee shop.
You'd take a nap earlier in the day.
No, I don't think I would even need to. I think I would be fine. I think it would be less about, like, the preparation. The recovery would take more, but I don't think I would need to prepare for it.
A smart man prepares.
Yeah. Well, obviously, you drink a pint of milk and eat a few slices of bread to line your stomach so you don't throw up.
A pint of milk?
Yeah, yeah. You line your stomach, and that way the alcohol doesn't soak in, and then you don't throw up. Yeah.
That sounds awful.
Oh, it's an old trick.
All right, well, let's move this along. It's an old trick.
16 years ago, that used to be my saver when I was going out.
Oh my God, you're old.
I know. Don't I know it. So anyway, they celebrate being old. And good for them. Monica tries to win over Phoebe to the idea of her taking the job, and she kind of makes a list of jobs that Phoebe can do without her, with the van. They all kind of stem from delivering stuff.
Yeah.
Delivering food and delivering pizza and delivering clothes and delivering
flowers.
Yeah. And then Monica's just like, all right, fine. I'll just do it. Like, I said I'd do this job with you, so I'll do this job with
good.
You. Good. And Phoebe's like, hooray. I think I would prefer the catering job.
But being a head chef's always been her dream.
Yeah.
Catering, you know, things come and go. You have to do a lot of promotion and putting yourself out
there.
Well,
that's Phoebe's role. That's what Phoebe's there for.
I guess so, yeah. It would probably just be a lot getting all of the equipment and lugging it around.
A lot more freedom. A lot more freedom.
But maybe she wants the stability more of having everything just provided for her.
Yeah. I think, like, especially now, you know, 20 years later, when you think how popular, like, food trucks and stuff are, I think I would definitely take that option rather than just working in a kitchen for an owner who probably has a big say in the menu, and then Gordon Ramsay comes around and tells you that your fucking fish is fucking raw, and then they go through your freezer and find horrible manky stuff. You know, it's tough.
Sounds like a good idea for a television show.
Yeah. Anyway, so Phoebe's all excited. She's like, yeah, let's plan our next thing. And she kind of goes through the notebook where Monica had been writing down all of her job possibilities that she could do, and then she realizes just how much Monica wanted to do the chef's job, so she's like, just take it, fine.
It's very selfless of Phoebe.
Yeah. What are you going to do? I mean, Monica's not going to be happy in that job. You can't force her to take it.
She could have been.
Well, maybe. Rachel arrives at work all chipper and happy for her new role as assistant buyer. She goes in to see Joanna, but she shockingly finds out that Joanna's dead.
Yeah, what?
She got hit by a taxi. She's speaking to just some random lady in the office who's like packing up all her stuff, and she's just like, oh, Joanna's dead. And Rachel's like, did she mention anything to you about a new job and an assistant buyer? And she's just like, no, I don't know. And then we get a funny little bit where Sophie comes in and she's all happy as well. She's like, good morning. And Rachel's like, oh, I guess you didn't hear about Joanna. And she's like, nope, I sure did. And you're like, oh boy.
But now Joanna's position is free, so Rachel could probably try to get it.
Oh, she's not. As impressive as her resume is, but she is not qualified for that position. We can only assume.
That's really frustrating.
What a shame. And that takes, by my count, our friend's death toll up to 3 people. After Nana, who passed away, and Mr. Heckles. Is there anyone else that's died? I think that's it, right?
Phoebe's mom's friend, who she thought was her mom. Well, technically she thought her mom died, but turned out her mom was alive.
Ah, but she was dead before the show started.
Okay, I don't know.
Look, we're not counting people that are dead before the show started. That's everyone ever, pretty much. Like Genghis Khan. Poor Genghis Khan died before the show started.
Like all those characters in Lord of the Rings.
Well, not all of them died.
A lot of them.
Well, spoiler. So that wraps up the episode. We then finish with Monica at her new job. Taylor Negron is doing a nice little speech to welcome her. She's like, well, we're delighted to have you here, Monica, and I know it was hard for us to say goodbye to our old head chef, who was like family to us. In that case, it's actually literally true for many of you here. And then we notice that everyone in the restaurant is giving Monica the old stink eye because they've fired this beloved chef. And she's like, wow, you know Monica's got good ideas. You all read the review that she wrote of this place. So, yeah.
It's kind of setting that up for people to be mad at her.
It's a real kitchen nightmare.
Ooh, that's a good name of a television show.
Or a podcast.
Woohoo! Zips and quips and television nightmares.
Yeah. So that wraps up the one where they're going to party. Did you enjoy that episode, Elizabeth?
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
There was some good stuff in there.
Yeah. It was okay.
Lays the groundwork. Monica's got a new job. Didn't see any Kathy in this episode. Where the hell's Kathy?
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, whatever.
Can't win them all, Michael.
Can't win them all. She'll be back at some point. We can only hope. Yeah, another pretty Ross Light episode.
Excellent.
Yeah. All right, shall we just bulldoze on to the one with the girl from Poughkeepsie?
Let's do it.
All right. 18th of December, season 4, episode 10. Elizabeth, we didn't talk about ratings. How many people do you think watched the one where they're going to party?
I need some context.
Oh, yeah, right. The one with Chandler in a box was 26.8 million people.
25.1.
All right, I'll say 26.5. Correct answer. 23.9. Oh, God damn it. I thought they were back up there. All right, so you've taken increased your lead. It's now 5-3.
Yeah, it is.
All right, the one with the girl from Poughkeepsie. How many people didn't watch that one?
24.8.
I'll say 24.5.
Ugh.
23.2. Hooray!
All right, well, the next 2 times, you have to go first.
Okay, 5-4.
Whatever.
All right. So the episode opens.
We know this one now.
You should know this one.
We just watched it 30 minutes ago.
About that, yeah. So how does it open, Elizabeth? What's Joey doing?
Joey's stuffing Oreos in his mouth.
Yes, he's attempting to see how many Oreos he can fit in his mouth. Do you remember how many he had in his mouth?
15?
That's
12.
Right.
15.
15. How many Oreos do you think you could fit in your mouth? Before we get to that.
Like whole?
There's absolutely no fucking way Joey fit 15 Oreos into his mouth.
No.
There's no fucking way.
No.
Okay.
But a whole?
Yeah.
Like just, you can't bite them, they're just a whole? I don't know. 7?
No way. No fucking way.
Get some Oreos.
5 maybe. Like, we're going to get Oreos for the next episode, and we're going to do this.
I think I can do 3. 3.
No fucking way. You're like pointing to putting them in, stashing them in the side of your mouth.
Yeah, like a hamster.
3, 3, and 1. No way. I think maybe
2,
6.
2, 2, and 2.
2, 2, and 2. Maybe.
Okay, well, I say I could do 7.
All right.
How many do you think you could do?
6. At the most.
Write it down.
All right. We'll do this next episode.
Wait, but are they double stuffed or regular?
No, just regular Oreos.
Oh, yeah. Can they be the mint ones? Those are real good.
All right, so we're going to plan to do this for next episode, and we'll probably fucking forget by then. But you can tweet us and remind us if we ever forget.
I just want to say that my mouth is a lot smaller than yours.
Right. But yes, but you're still guessing based on you. You still seem to think that you can fit six.
I said seven.
No fucking way.
Oh, I want to do it just because you don't believe that I could do it. I believe in me, and that's what's most important.
Okay. Ross comes in. He's like, hey, sorry I'm late. We don't find out what he's late for. They're all just sitting around doing fucking nothing. He's like, I was on the train and I saw this cute girl and she was going to Poughkeepsie. And then he talks about, I wanted to sit by the door so that if she wanted to change carts.
Yeah.
She would have to go past me. And he's like, she was completely at my mercy. I'm like, oh boy.
That was the creepiest thing he's ever boy. Said.
Like, in this current climate, Ross.
The fact that he would say she was at my mercy, completely at my mercy.
It's the fact that he put that much, like, thought into it.
Ugh.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Yeah. That implies that he's like, well, I was going to do some creepy shit to her, but then even if she got offended and tried to leave, she would have to walk past me.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, that's bad.
Real bad. But anyway.
See why I don't like him?
I guess it worked because they're going on a date. And he's worried about the long distance.
Because she's from Poughkeepsie.
Poughkeepsie. Elizabeth, how far do you think it is from New York City to Poughkeepsie?
A couple hours? I don't know. Yeah, a couple hours.
Yeah. That's about it. 2 hours on the train. They make it sound like it's fucking other side of the Atlantic or shit.
Yeah, but I think for someone that's never had to do a long-distance relationship, 2 hours is a lot.
He had a girlfriend from China. Oh, no, he didn't. He met a girl in China and then came back with her.
Yeah.
Not quite the same thing.
No.
So anyway, he's worried about that. Hit the music. Oh, boy. What a fucking shame. We see it's Christmas time in the city. There's lights out. There's a big tree in New York. Chandler sees that they're going to be lighting the Christmas tree soon. And he's like, oh, cool. And then they're like, that's an old newspaper, you dumbass. He's like, oh, shit. I want to take Kathy to this. Well, I guess we're not going to see Kathy this week either.
Nope.
And Rachel's just like, well, at least you have somebody. She's lonely. She talks about wanting a guy. She's like, I just want a guy. I just want anyone. And then we see Gunther in the background. He's kind of like, oh, here we go. Here's my chance. And he's like, I just want a real man. And then he kind of gets put off and walks away.
I didn't quite get it. Now that you're saying it again, I understand. But at first I thought it was implied that he wasn't a man.
No.
And I know. And then now that the way you said it, so you did a better job acting that than she did. Sorry to say.
Holy shit. Thank you.
So you're welcome.
I'm a better actress than one of our finest of this generation's television starlets, Jennifer Aniston.
You think she's one of our
She is one of our finest.
Do you mean looks-wise?
No, she's a wonderful actress. Have you not seen Cake? You not seen her in Cake?
She's the same role in everything.
Oh, you haven't seen Cake.
Well, anyways, now I get it because he's not a real, like, macho type
I
guy.
Saw you misunderstanding that as
you
well.
Did?
Yeah, I saw you, like, sort of furrowing your brow being like, wait, are they implying that he's, like, a man? Like, Elizabeth, they're not going to suggest that Gunther is transitioning.
I was excited about it.
Yeah,
the prospects.
No, it's just
titillated me.
That old thing. I want a man. I'll throw me down and cut down a tree, kind of guy.
That is not Gunther.
Gunther has many qualities, but not those.
Yeah.
So Chandler takes it upon himself to offer up the men in his office to Rachel. He's like, "Well, I can set you up with some people." She's like, "That'd be great." She's even looking for a fling. Now remember that, mm-hmm. because that might come up later. She's interested potentially in just a fling.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a term I don't feel gets used very often anymore.
Nah.
Because now I think it's assumed when you go out with someone, it's going to be a fling unless you say specifically.
Like
in the days of your Grinders and your
Tinder.
Tinders and
like a Grinder was the first one you said.
I don't know. Like
Bumble.
The people on that, I think, are more looking for... You're not on that looking for, like, a proper serious relationship. Or the majority of people on there.
it's just kind of for attention and potentially free meal and some good sex.
Which I think it reflects, like, the changing climate from the last 20 years.
People want to be loved, want to be needed, and want to be wanted, and yeah. Mm-hmm. Leisure town.
Monica is having issues at work. She is hated, yet rated by the people there. I don't know.
What does that mean?
Hated yet rated, like they don't like you, but they begrudgingly respect that you're like good at what you do. Like Tom Brady. Tom Brady is hated yet rated.
I guess. I don't know if I'd describe her that way, but I see where you're going.
They wrote quit bitch on her hat.
Yeah, that's pretty disrespectful.
Yeah, well they got her, like, their dad fired.
She didn't do that intentionally. She didn't ask for a job there.
No. But she took it.
Yeah.
So anyway, she's like, the gang are like, well, you should yell at them or fire them. And she's like, well, I don't like confrontation. I don't want to have to fire someone. I would have thought Monica would be okay with that. If you want to be a head chef, you got to be like a badass, basically.
It's her first time at it. Maybe she's just trying to find her feet. She gets mad when she's angry enough, but I guess that's more when she feels more comfortable.
She's happy to yell at the people she loves.
Yep.
Chandler gives you the idea that she should do what Orson Welles used to do on film sets, which was hire somebody just so that they could fire them, like, immediately, so people would know who's the boss. And Joy's like, oh, you can hire me and fire me, that's fine. I'm happy to help you out with that. So that's going to be their wicked little plan. Quite good.
Yeah.
Not a bad idea. Chandler is on the prowl for some men in his office. The office guys seem kind of keen because they're like, I guess Rachel went to an office party. So they're like, oh shit, Rachel, yeah, okay, cool, yeah.
They basically say the hot one, the hot Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, like, there's a couple of guys competing for being set up with her. And they're like, oh, I can take you to a Knicks game. And, you know, they're doing that thing. Which is kind of a common trope, or at least was a common trope in, like, movies and television. Which, if it happened in real life, you'd be like, what the fuck is happening? Where, like, they're adjusting his clothing. Like, they're tightening his tie and kind of, like, brushing stuff off his shoulder. And you're like, that's meant to be, like, oh, yeah, cool, yeah, I'll look after you. But it's like, if one of my co-workers, like, was fixing my tie, I'd be like, well, just hang on there.
Yeah, you do see that in film and not in real life.
I wonder if it ever happened. Because it's maybe, like, a compliment. It's like, I'll look after you, yeah, I've got you, don't you worry.
It's weird.
It's so weird. But they're, like, offering him stuff, and they're, like, adjusting his clothing.
Yeah, they're competing with cigars and tickets and... You know, one guy will say one thing, the next guy says the next thing, and Chandler's loving it.
Yeah, and why not? Elsewhere, Phoebe is writing a festive holiday ditty, a nice song for all of her friends. And she's trying to incorporate all of their names.
It's cute.
It's cute. She's struggling a little bit, partly because their names don't rhyme well with some things, and partly because Phoebe's not a very good songwriter.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Chandler has got lots of suitors for Rachel. He's getting lots of office favors.
I thought he was going to run with that more. I thought he was going to play the field a little more and see how much people could take him to games and do things for him until he set her up with somebody.
But he doesn't. He ends up lumping on Patrick?
I think so.
Yeah. Monica and Joy run through the practice of what the firing's going to look like. She's going to call a meeting and like lay down the law, and then he's going to be like, I got a problem with this, and then she's going to fire him. So that's how it's gonna look.
Yeah, practiced it.
Will we see it later? Well, we'll just have to see. Ross is going on a date with the girl, not with the girl from Poughkeepsie. He's got another date with someone who he doesn't like as much. She's about the same attractiveness. She's kind of smart, but she's no fun. But she is closer.
Yeah.
And she might be racist. So.
It's a toss-up.
Well, at least they don't know any black people, so you could keep your racist girlfriend around and not have to offend all your black friends.
That's true.
Monica continues to have problems in the kitchen. She's gonna go fire Joey. We then get a snapshot of Monica at work. She is getting a hard time off her staff. They're just being very difficult and uncooperative. And she cannot wait to fire Joey. She's like, I'm just gonna call a meeting and fire you tonight because I can't take this shit.
Yeah. So he's been working there a couple days.
Something like that, yeah. Rachel is very happy with Chandler. She's like, oh, you set me up with a good guy. Good for you. And she's like, oh, he might be like a good boyfriend material. And then he's like, well, I thought you were just looking for a fling. And then she finds out that he had told him that. And
yeah.
She gets mad.
Yeah. That's not great.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's the worst thing, but it also, especially in that time, it kind of gives you a little bit of a reputation. Like, you're just looking, unfortunately, in the sexist world, if a woman says she just wants a fling, it's like, ooh, kind of, like, slutty.
But, like,
whereas if a guy does that, he's the man, you know?
That's so ridiculous.
It's true, though.
I know it is, but it's just,
girls don't want guys to know that they're just looking for a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
It's what a roll in the hay.
Yeah.
Take what you can get, mate. It's fucking Jennifer Aniston. Just be thankful.
Oh my god.
We then cut back to the restaurant. Joey is eating cheese on the job. Just feel like that would be something you would do if you worked in a restaurant.
Oh my god, absolutely. He was eating it like with his hands right out of the
like the storage tub. Container, yeah.
I eat it out of the bag.
Yeah, well, that's okay. No one else is going to be eating that. He has taken this opportunity to reinvent himself, so he's given himself the nickname Dragon.
That's lame.
No, it's cool.
Speaking of Lord of the Rings, you know what's in that? Dragons.
I think you're thinking of The Hobbit.
But isn't that part of Lord of the Rings?
Well, it's the same universe, but it's two completely different stories.
Oh my god.
I can't believe you don't cover that on your podcast.
Well, I do. I just, in a different way.
The waiter, one of his waiter colleagues comes in and gives him his tips from the last couple of days, and he's done pretty great.
He's made over $500.
Yep, for 2 days.
For 2 days' work, a Monday and a Tuesday. Not even, Friday and Saturday nights.
But an upscale restaurant, you're going to wait on what? I don't know how many tables a waiter would wait on in a night, but somewhere between, what, 8 and 12, maybe?
Is it an upscale restaurant?
I think so.
I don't know.
A decent restaurant in New York, you're waiting on 10 tables, like,
yeah,
you're going to make at least that, I would have thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if the bill's higher, the tip will be higher, unless mm-hmm. they're pieces of crap.
So anyway, Monica calls her meeting. She's like, hey, everybody listen, gather around, I've got something I want to say. And she tries to lay down the law. She's like, I've had it up to here with everybody, and so it's my way or the highway. And then she's waiting for like Joey to jump in and argue with her so she can fire him. But Joey, you don't want to quit because he's making bank.
You don't blame him.
So then he backs out, and she's like, "New guy, do you have anything to say?" And he's like, "No," and like it's just yeah, Monica, who's normally like strong and you know speaks her mind. She's just a bit of a doormat as a boss.
Well, she's really insecure deep down.
Have you ever had to fire anyone?
I've never been in the position where I was over anyone to fire them.
Do you think you would struggle in the way that Monica fired?
No.
No?
If someone wasn't doing their job right, I wouldn't be, like, mean about it, and I'd have a conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if it came to that point, I feel that I could do it okay.
Kind of sounds like you can't wait for the day when you do get to fire someone.
You fired people, haven't you?
I've done it in the past, yes.
Is it awkward?
It varies. Usually, like, in my line of work, like, when it comes to firing someone, it means that they've fucked up so severely that, like, there's nothing else you can do. So it's usually pretty cut and dry. I've never had to, like, fire someone just where it's, like, on the line.
Yeah. Or, like, lay anyone off just because there's cuts.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when I hire people, it's, like, temporary work anyway. So you don't really feel bad that you're taking someone's livelihood away from them and it's only ever going to be a temporary job anyway, yeah. So I've never really had that pressure. So he backs down, Monica's left, still being fucking ridiculed by her underlings. But Joey's making a lot of money, so what are you going to do? Phoebe's struggling with her song, because things just don't rhyme with Rachel or whatever. Ross falls asleep in Central Perk. All this traveling, those 2-hour train journeys must be really taken out of him.
That's not a lot.
It's not a lot. Also, like, the train is the easiest mode of transport to take a nap on.
Unless, you know, he's going after work and then coming home before he has to go to work, then, like, you know.
Yeah, but don't do that. Just go after work on Friday, spend all day Saturday, spend Sunday morning, get a train back Sunday.
Yeah.
Easy. 2 hours, that's fucking nothing.
I agree.
Yeah. He's still got these two girls, basically. Well, he's juggling two women, which I guess is tiring him out as well. And he doesn't know which one to pick. And Phoebe's just like, well, you're too tired for one and you don't like the other, so just dump them both. And he's like, yeah, okay, I'll do that. And she's like, I had a similar situation when I used to live in Prague. Just filling in more information into Phoebe's rich tapestry of a backstory.
But then even they were like, even Phoebe said, there's just so much you guys don't know about me.
Yeah.
And she kind of left it at that.
Well, I feel like Monica might know, but why would Joy or Ross know?
I don't know if that was like to the audience.
Yeah, almost. That's true. She lived in the Czech Republic, though. How fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel is mad at Chandler again because he's tried to fix his error by telling Patrick that she wants a serious relationship, so he broke up with her. Because you don't tell a guy that you want to... You can't tell you what fling, you can't tell me what a serious relationship... What's a girl to do, Elizabeth? It must be exhausting being a woman.
Just don't talk about it, like guys do.
I guess. So, yeah, she's mad and Chandler's like, I'm sorry. And then they have, like, cuddle up on the lazy boy chair together and he kisses her on the forehead a couple of times. It's just a bit weird.
Well, Joey and Monica kiss on the cheek earlier in the episode.
Yeah, he does that shit with Monica quite a lot as well. They kind of like cuddle up
on the couch. It doesn't seem strange. I mean, I have guy friends that we would kiss on the cheek.
Or what?
Yeah, call me crazy.
And yet you recoil whenever I get within touching distance of you. Ross is on the train. He's going to break up with Poughkeepsie girl, but he's fallen asleep. And the train is at Poughkeepsie, and you can see the girl out the window, and she's like, hey, Ross, Ross. And he falls asleep, and the train rolls on.
Yep.
That's rough. You gotta set an alarm for that shit if you're sleeping on the train.
Yeah. He probably thought the announcement would wake him up or whatever.
Yeah. No, I've never done that, but, like, growing up in Scotland, I would take the train from Edinburgh to Glasgow a lot, and that's, like, a 45-minute, 50-minute train journey. And sometimes you go for a night out, so you go back the other one. And I've definitely fallen asleep and, like, missed my stop. But the good thing about it is that train just goes back and forth between the two. So, like, I've fallen asleep and then woken up and I'm still, like, arriving where I wanted to go. But it's, like, 2 hours later than I thought I would be. So I've clearly just missed a couple of rotations. But it's always worked out okay.
And no one's woken you up?
You would think the staff would. And sometimes they do, but just sometimes they don't.
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite funny. But at least, like, you're not ending up anywhere else.
Yeah.
You're either going to end up where you started or where you're going.
Right.
It's not too bad. The bullying of Monica continues. She gets locked in the freezer, despite the fact that all these walk-in freezers have a release button that can get you out of there.
Yeah, but it's scary in there.
Mm.
I've been in many. It's really cold, really fast, mm-hmm. and it feels like everything's closing in on you. And
well, there's a light, though.
The doors are yeah, but from the outside. And the doors are super heavy, so you really have to push on them to open them.
Did I tell you the time I got locked in a walk-in, not a freezer, thankfully, but a refrigerator?
Yes, you did.
I did. It was scary as shit.
Right? That's what I'm
Because the button didn't work. The button was broken, so like I got closed in, and yeah, as luck should have it, somebody let me out after about 90 seconds, but that person was not meant to be there. Like, I was on my own when it happened, and then the door closed, and I was like, oh, this release doesn't work. I'm going to be stuck in here for a while. And then, just as luck should have it, someone let me out 90 seconds later.
Were you pounding on the door?
No, I was trying to get the thing open. Like, I hadn't given up trying to open the door. Like, it wasn't that long, but it could have been very bad.
At least it wasn't a freezer, because those are
yeah, so like, I feel like a walk-in fridge,
You'd have a sporting chance.
It would suck, but I would last in there a lot longer than in a freezer.
Yeah, you could eat some of the food.
I could, yeah. I'm like in the freezer.
Yep.
So the bullying continues. She gets locked in. She gets covered in marinara sauce. She's very upset, and it sounds like she's about to quit. She's like, if you guys just want me to quit. But then Joy, to the rescue, jumps in and
da-da-da.
Launches into that scene that they were practicing earlier. It was like, yeah, I got something to say. And so Monica fires him. And that kind of changes everyone over. Everyone's like scared of her.
Yeah.
She's like, is this funny? He's like, no, it's not funny. I'm sorry. And then she makes fun of a guy for getting a haircut. And the guy's hair is pretty standard of what you would get in today's.
Yes.
It's like, what do you call it? It's
short,
like
shave, on the sides.
Shave around the sides and then like a...
long on the top.
Yeah, but like oiled and combed backwards.
Yeah, not like man bun long, no. but just like enough where you could, there's a little lift to it and you could just comb it right back and the sides are real short.
I like to get my wrestling references in. It's a Pete Dunne haircut.
Okay, a Pete Dunne haircut.
Yeah. Ross wakes up in Montreal and there's a beautiful woman sitting next to him.
Okay. Okay. This has to have been the stupidest, worst scene of Friends I've ever seen.
Elizabeth, you seem to be confused. This is the 22nd best episode of Friends made.
No, this... I can't even wrap my brain around it. So this woman is sitting very close to him.
Yep.
And she appears to be extremely made up. Her hair is perfect. She has her makeup on. She's wearing diamond, like, earrings and, like, a nice overcoat.
Yeah.
And she's just staring at him.
Yeah. She's like, I made a bet with myself that you had beautiful eyes.
It wasn't even a good accent.
I think it was Quebecois.
And that, no, but then I was like, yeah, I made a bet with myself that you have beautiful eyes, and now that you're awake, I win. Or some, like, horrible line like that. And I hated it. I hated every second of it.
Why? Did you not think it was realistic?
No!
Did
you?
I could relate, and I'll tell you why. A story I've never told you before.
Oh my god.
But I had a train incident, a sleeping on the train incident. Again, on that popular Edinburgh to Glasgow line, I was going from Edinburgh to Glasgow, where I was going to university, and I had fallen asleep, and I woke up, and someone had written me a lovely note. And someone had been, it was a note that had said, like, you're a good-looking dude, this is my number,
no
give me a call.
Way.
I fucking swear, no, I didn't.
Why not?
I don't know.
What was her name?
I can't remember. But someone had been like, hey, you're fit, here's my number, give me a call. I swear to God,
wow.
This happened.
Yeah. When, how old were you?
I was like 19, maybe.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was good. I'd only just remembered it when we were talking about it there, but yep, back in the day.
You had it.
Was a little bit of a playboy.
Woo!
Need to get back in that bubble.
So if you're listening, stranger from the train, Michael is ready.
Yeah.
Find him. He's in America now.
My heart wasn't ready then, but maybe now.
Maybe.
No, I think I just got a lot of pleasure of showing that note to all of my friends. I was like, yeah, look what just happened to me.
It could have been some, like, drunk girls that were like, oh my god, give your ex-boyfriend's number to this guy. Like, it could have been anything.
Hey, why you gotta say that? I don't know why.
I don't mean to burst your bubble.
It could have been that, but it's far more likely it was just a girl that liked what she saw.
True. And it takes the pressure off of confronting someone, being like, hey, just walking up and putting yourself out there.
For sure.
You should have called her.
I've still got the note. It's not too late.
Oh, yeah? Just frame it?
Yeah. So this girl's like, oh, I'll buy you a coffee. And he's like, oh, God, not a Montreal girl. And he's like, well, you don't live in Montreal, do you? And she's like, no, but it's only a 2-hour ferry ride to Nova Scotia. Like, oh, boy. That's not going to work for Ross.
No, but it's even further than Poughkeepsie. Yeah. That's a different country.
And again, well, I mean, this scene resonated with me on so many levels. He fell asleep on a train from America and woke up in Canada. It's not that easy to get into fucking Canada.
No, wouldn't you have to show your... Well, I guess you wouldn't back then. You wouldn't have to show your passport.
Well, you should.
I know, but...
I mean, as someone who has been detained and refused entry at the Canadian border and then had to wait 6 hours for a bus to take me back into America.
You're not bitter, right?
It's not that easy. Fuck Canada, mate. They don't want me here.
No, we love Canada.
Well,
all of our listeners from Canada.
Look, I love all of our listeners from Canada, but
they offer so much. They're way better than America.
They do not want me in their country. And
no.
Yeah, who can blame them?
That's true. I would happily go to Canada to live. I'm seriously considering moving there.
Alright.
They got it figured out up there. It's just cold.
Well, you do so well with the cold.
No, it needs to be 76 or higher.
And then we get a little cut to Joey saying his goodbyes in the restaurant, just kind of laying on the guilt trip, being like, oh, it's going to be a bad Christmas in the Dragon House. And then the episode ends with Phoebe's song for the gang.
She's figured it out.
Kind of.
She sings it, you know.
In Central Perk. At peak times, there's people there. What would the other people think of this song?
I don't know, but it was... This really showed off how much she can't sing.
Oh, God.
It was really bad. When she tried to, like, hold a note and go higher. Like, you could pull it off if you stay kind of in a lower range and just, you know...
Mm.
Just strum along. But no, this was it was cute because it was like a holiday song, but it was bad.
I don't want to go to a gig and hear people sing songs about their friends.
But is that imply that it is her friend?
Yes, she says it at the beginning.
But you think that everyone in the world would know them by now, since that all they do is live in there.
True.
Except for Gunther didn't know the difference between Chandler and Joey.
I take back what I said, because I've just remembered another famous story that happened to me.
Oh my god.
Back in my days in Glasgow, I did go to a gig, and the people playing, they're a very talented Scottish band. It was a trio of ladies called Danger, Danger, Run, Run, Run. And they did a song for their friend that was leaving to move to Australia. And it was a very charming song about how much they'll miss her. So I guess it can be good. But this was not that song. And that wraps up the episode, the one with the girl from Poughkeepsie. Elizabeth, would you say that that is probably the 22nd best episode of Friends ever?
Sure. I don't know.
I mean, based on how many the ones we've seen on the list already, we'd have to place it in your top 10. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's pretty good.
It was a good episode, but it's hard for me to rank them, honestly. It's asking a lot of me. Because, you know, I forget so many. So I guess the ones that stand out in my mind, like when you say the name of them, if I can remember what that one's about, that's a good sign.
I like Monica's storyline with Joey. I thought that was good. The people in the restaurant are funny because they're really giving her a hard time.
Yeah.
I don't really care about Rachel and Chandler's thing. Ross's thing was...
Fine. Phoebe's...
Mad at a bit of Ross's scene where you were like, this is taking forever.
Yeah, he just was trying to explain the difference between the girls that was local and the one from Poughkeepsie, and he just couldn't get it out.
It probably only took about 45 seconds.
I know, but he was just like, well, she's not fun, and she's kind of smart. He just was so, I can't stand when he talks, and that fucking leather jacket. That leather jacket.
He's a cool guy.
Oh my god.
Alright, well, we don't really have time, like my laptop is literally about to die, so we're going to wrap it up there. The next episode that we're going to watch, Elizabeth, is called The One with Phoebe's Uterus. So that's going to be interesting. You can only speculate what that's going to be about.
Oh my god.
But we'll find out. I'm pretty sure whatever you think it's about, it's definitely not going to be that.
I hope she doesn't have a health scare.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. Thank you all very much for listening. At FriendsPod on Twitter. FriendsTillTheEnd.podomatic.net is our website. Tell a friend. Give us a nice review on iTunes. Elizabeth, see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.